Down from the glory to Savior came, down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me.
Verses 1 and 3 of 201. to make everyone feel very welcome tonight. Thank you for coming to the meeting. Before we read from the Bible, God's Word, we'll ask for help in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow tonight and we give thee thanks for thy grace to us. Thank thee for a message of salvation that can be spoken. We would ask for help to do it in a worthy way that would glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for each in the meeting tonight who is not sure of where they're going to be in eternity. We pray that they would listen for eternity. And we pray, Lord, that it would be salvation tonight for the glory of God. We would ask that thou bless and give help. We think of each place where the gospel message is preached tonight. We ask for the blessing of God upon it. In our Savior's name, amen. Amen. I have four passages from the Word of God that I'd like to read tonight. First of all, in the little book in the Old, near the end of the Old Testament, Habakkuk, chapter 2. So if you go to Matthew, probably, and then work backwards into the end of the Old Testament, just before Zephaniah, you'll get Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man. That's all we'll read there. I really want to get that phrase in chapter 4, but the just, in verse 4, but the just shall live by faith. Over to the New Testament, to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Over, please, to Galatians chapter 3. First and Second Corinthians, and Galatians just before Ephesians. Verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law. In the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Final reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, I'm sure you've likely picked up the phrase that is the same in each of these four passages. I believe the only four times that this phrase is used throughout the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. And I'd like to look at That same phrase in each of these passages, just in a little different way, that would apply to you in the gospel meeting tonight. That speaks of the gospel of salvation. I'd like to start off, first of all, in Romans chapter 1. There we have the universal call of the gospel. The universal call of the gospel. And Paul would write here, and he would say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see there that Jew and Greek who were opposite. The audience here, these would have been the two most opposite groups of people, really. Almost competing groups of people. And religiously, they were very different. But the message here to them was that the just shall live by faith. No matter whether you are Jew, no matter whether you are Greek, no matter what your religious background is, whether there is a religious background or not, the message is still the same, that the just shall live by faith. So this shows us that the message of the gospel is the same message to everyone in the world. It is the same message no matter where we travel. Thank God there is a salvation that is worldwide. There is a salvation that is for all. We read that verse, we know that verse well. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That takes everyone in, and we might think of all the countries in the world that we can think of tonight, but let's think about this gospel meeting. Every single person in this gospel meeting, this message is for you. What does it mean to be just? To be just. It is the idea of being justified. Now, that might not help. What does justified mean? It means to be made right with God. For us to be made right in the eyes of God. Now, why do we need to be made right? It is the problem of our sin that requires that we need to be made right. Because our sin has made us wrong. In the eyes of God. Because of our sin, we have disobeyed God. There's a separation that has come in between you and God. And we need to be justified. The just shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is simply trusting God's word. What God has said. And that is the means of someone being made right with God. Being saved or justified. Is to simply accept what God says. The just shall live by faith. And here we have in this passage of Romans, we have the universal call to the world of the gospel. You need to have your faith in Christ in order to be saved. The just shall live by faith. Here we have then, I would like to turn back to that funny name chapter, book in the Bible, Habakkuk chapter 2. There we have in verse number 4 and 5, pardon me, behold his soul which is lifted up is not upright or is not right in him, but the just shall live by faith. Here I would see, in order to be saved, to be justified, we need humility. We need to be humble before God. We need to bow down to what God says. We need to be humble enough to realize that our sin is our problem. That we can't go on the way we are in our life. We need to understand that this is something we can't live without. And it's surely something we can't die without. The just shall live by faith. This is something that people don't want to face. Many people think, I can do my life my own way. I will go my own way, and I don't need to think about your religion. I don't need to think about God. Let me remind you that this is the most important thing you could think about. You think of your career, you think of your life, you think of school. You think of your family, And you think, these are all things that are so important to me. And I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. And just continue on the way I am. And I'll be fine. But no, if you're going to live, you need to be justified. You need to be made right and you need to be humble. There's a lot of people, like the verse mentions, this proud man. He is lifted up inside. He says, I don't need that. I don't need your salvation. I don't need any of this. I'm going my own way. What does a proverb tell us? The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. I don't need God. I can live my life without God. You live your life without God. But you won't have eternal life without God. It'll be eternal death, eternal suffering. And here it says, the just, they shall live by faith. For me to admit that really in myself, my own way is wrong, I need to turn around. It's called repentance. To turn against ourselves and acknowledge that what God says about me is true. I need to turn in my mind how I think about myself. Do I think I'm pretty good? A pretty good person? Or do I realize I am in desperate need of salvation? And that is what you need to come to be humble before God, that I am in need. The just shall live by faith. You know, a person that's depending on themselves doesn't want to depend on someone else. And that's what faith is. Putting your trust in someone else. If you just trust yourself, they'll never be saved. It requires humility on your part. Galatians chapter 3. We have there those who were working. Those who were working for their salvation. They were thinking, if we could keep the law of God, those Ten Commandments, and if we can do our best and work really hard at that, that truly will make us right before God. If we try to be good to our neighbors, if we try not to steal, if we try to honor God, and we try all these things, then truly we don't need faith. We'll depend on our works. We'll depend on what we are doing. But no. Back here in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10, says that for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Because we are sinners, we cannot perfectly keep God's law. Because God is perfect. And if we are going to get to heaven by our works, we have to be perfect. And there's no one here and no one in the world tonight that would tell you that they, if they understand what the law of God is, would honestly tell you that they are perfect, that they do everything right, that they keep every law of God exactly and go above and beyond. No, they won't tell you that because we've all broken God's law. So because we have broken God's law, there is nothing that we can do to merit God's favor. There is none of our good things, and good things are still good things, but they won't get us to heaven. It's not by keeping the law that will get you there. It's not by doing your best. Not by keeping the law of God and we look at all the good things that we try and do. But remember, in order to perfectly keep the law, we do the good things. That means we do no bad things. No sin. We all know we've broken that. We couldn't say we've never sinned. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day he is angry. He's angry with our sin. No matter how hard we try to keep that law, it will not take our sins away. Then we have at the end in Hebrews chapter 10, we have those who draw back. Let me mention too, in the context of this chapter, we have just mentioned right here, for yet a little while. He that shall come will come and will not tarry or will not go slow, will not hold back. When the time for him, Christ to return, comes, there'll be no hesitation. There'll be no turning back. Whatever time, and we do not know when it is set in the calendar of God, whenever Christ will return to the earth, there will be no stopping it. He will not tarry. And it's just a little while. Let me remind you, the Lord will return. In just a little while. And he will not tarry. It will be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Faster than you can see light reflect off the eye. Faster than a reflection. It will be faster than that. That he will come. And catch away all. You'll have no time to grab onto anyone. As I used to think as a child. You'll have no time to, oh, I better get saved now. The Lord is on his way. It's in a moment, the Bible tells us. And your opportunity for salvation will be gone because you receive not the love of the truth. You receive not the message of the gospel that you heard. And that'll be your time up. Your time over. When will that take place? The Word of God says it's just a little while. Not very long. What if it was tonight? In May of this year, there were two ladies and their two dogs, Jennifer Appel and Tasha Fuiaba, with their dogs Zeus and Valentine. And they started off from Hawaii on their sailboat, and they were going to sail. I'm not sure the name of the place they were going to. Intending to go to. They got into a storm and the boat was damaged, and water came around the motor and they lost their power. The mast was damaged, so they couldn't steer very well. And they were set adrift in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And for 98 days, they were adrift in the Pacific Ocean. Thankfully, they had a good supply of food and a water purifier. One of the smartest things they have with them. But there they were, and they sent out signals, distress calls, but there were no boats, no land stations close enough to pick those up. There they drifted. They endured two shark attacks. One night they came into a pod of tiger sharks, and then another time another shark just rammed the front of their boat, and they were thankful that it didn't break the boat open, but they thought that this was it. They were going to perish. They were out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and they were helpless. Totally helpless to do anything to be rescued. No one else around them. All alone. And they said, this Jennifer, she said, She said that basically, we thought that within 24 hours, she said, we thought that this would be it. They thought they had, for some reason, they thought they had about 24 hours more. She said there was a Taiwanese fishing boat that spotted them. This is just this past week. From May, remember when May was before school was out? Till now, they were adrift in the ocean, not knowing if they'd ever be saved. She said, we didn't know that if the next shark attack or the next storm that they would go into would take their ship to the bottom. But she said, whenever I saw that gray boat come on the horizon, she said, my heart leapt. Because she said, I knew we were just about to be saved. Just about to be saved. Let me remind you that there's nothing just about to be saved. When it comes to this. Because we have sung that hymn at the beginning, O many were once as near heaven as thou, but they lingered and lost their day. They are weeping and wailing and wandering now on the coast of the castaway. They were near, they were close, they thought. But close to salvation means nothing. You could be very far away and think you're close. You could be very close and the Lord would come and it wouldn't count. She said, my heart leapt. She said, I thought we were going to be saved. Then it's interesting. She said, there is a true humility. to wondering if today is your last day, if tonight is your last night, if the approaching storm is going to bring down your rig, there's a true humility. Was that not the passage that I read at first? The requirement for us to be humble and to realize that there's only one way, and it's God's way, not my way. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross. It's the only way. There is only one way, and it will take humility to be rescued. To be rescued from your sin, from the danger of perishing eternally in the lake of fire, that is eternal judgment and punishment for sin. You know, what did she say whenever they climbed aboard that ship? She said, "Thank God we're saved." Would there be anyone tonight who would be able to pray that prayer? It's God's will that you could. God would love to save you tonight, to take your sins away, forgive you of your sins. He's offering forgiveness because Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay for the sins of the whole world. And he would love you to come to him and just trust in him. That's what faith is. The just shall live by faith. Put your trust in him, not in yourself, not in anything you can do. You're like out in the Pacific Ocean with no one to save you, all by yourself. No one can even hear your call. And you're alone, and you're in danger of perishing. And there's one who is searching for you. And that U.S. Coast Guard, all those miles, came and picked them up and brought them to safety. And they were saved. Thank God we have been saved. I wonder tonight, is there one who would like to be saved? What do you think if that, those ladies in that boat with their dogs there, when that ship came alongside and put down the ladder to their boat, they said, "No, there's no rush. Come back in a month's time. We've lasted this long here. We'll probably be okay." Just, they'd be crazy. That this could be the last chance. This could be the last time that any boat will come near them. Tomorrow, a shark could destroy the boat, maybe. Or a storm can sink the boat. You would say, "Don't be foolish. Get on the boat. Get off your boat. Come to safety." But maybe they would think, "Well, it's a little bit embarrassing. All this expense, all this news coverage, and maybe we just hide in our boat. We'll avoid that. We'll avoid coming out into the open to be seen as people needing rescued." You say, "No, foolishness." But a lot of you are doing the same thing with your soul. Foolishly hiding from God and his word, and you don't want to admit it. You don't want to be humble and realize this is just what I need. Remember, this could be your last chance, even tonight. This could be your last opportunity for salvation. You may not have next week. We announce these meetings every week, but it may not happen next week. These ones in Hebrews, there was a warning sent out because there was a group of people here, these Hebrews. You understand who they were. There were people who accepted Christ, and there's people who outrightly rejected him. Then there were others that verbally with their mouth, they said, "Oh, that sounds good. This is a new thing. I'll go along with these people that follow Christ. I'll say that I'm a follower. And I'll go along." Sounds pretty nice to be able to say you know you're going to be in heaven. And to go along with that. But then there was testing that came. There was persecution that came. And there's people that they were forced to show their colors. To show who they were. Do you really follow Christ? Have you really trusted him? Or are you just going along and saying that you have, but that's not going to hold you? Are you just going alongside and saying that I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to be faithful. I'm not going to bear any persecution for his name. And that's what, there's a group of people here. And they were those that were, and they were considering turning back. And some of them were turning away. And as time went on, it was very visible that they had never trusted Christ. And they were turning away and turning back to their old religion. And they were rejecting Christ. And here is the warning that goes out. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If anyone draw back, and maybe there's someone in you thinking about being saved. Or maybe what there's some that you've even said you're saved, but you've never really trusted Christ. And maybe within your heart there is a desire to turn back and forget this whole thing. To turn away, to turn back. And what does it say of those that turn back? Of that we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That is judgment, that is destruction. If you turn back, all you have to face is eternal destruction. But don't turn back. Believe. Place your faith in Christ. And that will give you the salvation of your souls. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Trust, believe, whatever word you want to put on. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin. The Savior of sinners. And you can have eternal life. You can live. And really live. The just shall live by faith. If you turn back, you won't be living. You'll be eternal death. Trust Christ, you'll be saved.